morning, church. Please stand and sing with us. We're so glad you're here this morning. Send it on down.
Send it on down. Send it on down. Lord, let the Holy Ghost come on down. Send it on down. Send it on down. Lord, let the Holy Ghost come on down.
Send it on down.
Send it on down.
Send it on down.
Lord, let the Holy Ghost come on down.
Sing it out.
Send it on down. Send it on down. Lord, let the Holy Ghost come on down.
Lord, we are children and we are asking for you to send the fire. Our hearts are hungry, spirits are thirsty. We need to feel your power. Just like the prophecy said it would be.
Holy Ghost, come on down. Send it on down. Send it on down. Lord, let the Holy Ghost come on down.
Heavenly Father.
Heavenly Father, here I come. Let your Holy Spirit fall. Send down the power, let it fall, I pray, as we lift our praises to your name. Send it on down,
send it on down.
Lord, let the Holy Ghost come on down.
Sing it out.
Send it on down,
send it on down.
Lord, let the Holy Ghost come on down.
Heavenly Father.
Heavenly Father, here I come. Let your Holy Spirit fall. Send down the power, let it fall. As we lift our praises to your name. Send it on down.
Send it on down.
Lord, let the Holy Ghost come on down.
Send it on down.
Send it on down. Lord, let the Holy Ghost come on down.
Oh, Lord, let the Holy Ghost come on down. Last time.
Lord, let the Holy Ghost come on
down.
Amen. Woo! Please take a seat.
Yeah, good to see you all this morning. Welcome Mike DuPont, our celebration band and singers. Our praise and worship leader, Kara, is out of town, so Mike is so good to fill in for us this morning. As always, our wonderful praise band to lead us. Got a lot of things going on. We've got the Faith Family Dinners, of course, this Wednesday evening, 5:45 to 6:30. You see a delicious menu there, so be sure and be prepared to do that. And Traveler's Game coming up Saturday, May 5th for the great price of $35. You see, for the whole family, what all you get to enjoy that evening. So you want to be sure and mark that. Please see Laura for details about that, or Ora Bunton, our ACCDC director. And the Robert Moore Bible class has made the decision to disband. They were unable to hold the class together because so many things had happened. They had lost a lot of their saints. And so they have merged into some wonderful Sunday school classes that we have here at Asbury. But we want to really remember the heritage of Asbury United Methodist Church. So many of your parents or grandparents were a part of this class. And so you'll see that on May 6th, during the fellowship time, there will be a special recognition and maybe just a few times to visit and to share what that class has meant to our church. So you'll want to be sure and be here for that. We've also got another opportunity, April 28th, to be in the Walk for the Waiting as we think about our special mission of this church, the call, which we'll be observing later on in September. So if you want to be a part of that ministry, that would be a great thing to do on April 28th. And one thing that we did not get a slide on, but that you know in your heart if you are faithful to this mission and ministry, is Stone Soup this afternoon, 1:30. So that's the time when, of course, we go and feed the hungry at Quapaw Quarter United Methodist Church downtown Little Rock. So you'll want to be sure and do that. Take a moment to sign the attendance register. We always have a lot of visitors, and if you're a first-time visitor, you will get a loaf of bread here in the Little Rock area. So we want to be able to do that, but we need a physical street address to do it. But also you will want to be sure and now greet in the name of Christ. Let's do that.
All right, so hey, at this time, why don't our little kiddos come down? Miss Laura's got a special message for you.
All right, if all of my friends will come forward. Friends. 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 Well, good morning.
Good morning.
Happy Sunday. How are we today? Are we good? What is today besides Sunday? Stone Soup.
Very good.
Very good. What? The day before you have to go back to school. The last day of the weekend. Think. You know what today is? Does anybody know? Today is Earth Day. Did you know that? Free the Earth. There you go. Who created the earth? God did. He created everything that was in it. He creates the animals and the trees and the flowers and the people and the plants and the water and everything. The galaxy. Okay. So he, yes, we could go on and on. He does. What are we supposed to do? What do we need to do by this precious gift?
Keep it clean.
Keep it clean. What else can we do?
It's a day where we pick up trash off of the earth.
To pick up trash off the earth.
Praise Him.
Praise Him. Well, we need to do that every day.
You make sure you take care of the earth.
We make sure we take care of the earth. We could do that by what? What else?
You could put your stuff in the trash.
Put our stuff in the trash. What else? I'm thinking of something particular. One more.
Recycle.
Recycle. That is right. We can recycle. Okay, one more, Seth.
Make projects to make people that litter stop littering.
Make projects for people who are littering to stop littering. That's great answers. So, do we just need to think about these things today? No, we need to think about them, doing them all the time. All the time. So as you go through these next few days, if you see something, what are you going to do? Pick it up. If you can recycle something, what? Recycle it. That is right. Because you know what? God gave us this precious gift, and we need to take care of it. Let's pray. Gracious God, we so thank you for today. And we thank you for this wonderful gift that you have given us. We just ask that you remind us every day that we need to take care of this precious gift. We ask this all in your Son's holy name we pray. Amen.
All of you is more than enough for all of me, for every thirst and every need. You satisfy me with your love, and all I have in you is more than enough.
your love, and all I have in you is more than enough.
You're my sacrifice of greatest price,
still more awesome than I know. Love, and all I have in you is more than enough,
more than all I need.
You are more than enough for me,
more than all I know, more than all I can say.
You are more than all of you is more than enough for all of me, for every thirst and
all our needs,
every need,
Lord,
you satisfy me
with your love,
and all I have in you is more than enough.
Lord of heaven and earth,
Lord of
to the Lord of heaven and earth. Hallelujah.
Amen. Thank you so much. Please have a seat.
We do seem to have a list that won't go away because people need our prayers, and they will always need our prayers. So please, please take your bulletins at some point today and keep these persons in your prayers. Let us go to God. God, we bring you our prayer concerns and our list to you of needs never goes away. But you're okay with that, because the last thing you want is not to hear from your children. Forgive us when we just come to you with our need. Forgive us when we don't come to you to ask for forgiveness. Forgive us when we have not paid attention to those who are hurting, to those who are serving, so that we can be here in this moment and pray in freedom and safety. Forgive us when we are so focused on ourselves that we are not mindful of those that we need to be reaching out to share Christ. Forgive us for not coming to you first to solve a problem. So God, we come to you today and ask for forgiveness for so many things. And we pray that we will have that repentant and confessing heart daily and not just on Sundays for just a moment. We all need you, God. We all need to come to you and to just be quiet and pray. And when we do that, you do not fail us. When we do that, you fuel us. You fuel us with your spirit, with your love and your peace and your assurance, saying, trust in me. I will lead you. I can't do it all, but you've got to get up and walk toward me, and I'll bring the light to your darkness. So God, thank you. And we do pray for those that are on our list today, those in our bulletin, those in our church family and beyond, who are encouraged each and every time we pray for them. And in that encouragement, there's healing. Healing of heart, body, mind, and soul. So God, in this moment, we give you thanks for Jesus Christ, who gave us resurrection. Resurrection of hope, resurrection of life, resurrection of love. And we pray this prayer in his holy name as he taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. The ACCDC and the Children's Ministries of Asbury had a successful garage sale this weekend, and they thank you for all the ways that you contributed to that success, knowing that your donations will encourage ministry to children as they grow to know Jesus Christ. Let us pray. Most gracious God, we thank you for the gift of giving. We thank you for the opportunity to share what we have, knowing that you will take it, and in your way, your mysterious way, you will multiply it into great abundance, and so many will be served through our meager portion of what we give. So God, thank you. Thank you for telling us to give to you. We love you. In Jesus' name, amen.
The poor and powerless, and all the lost, the lonely, and all the thieves will come confess, and they'll know that you are holy. Oh, know that you are holy. And all will sing out, Alleluia. We will cry out, Alleluia. And all the hearts that are content, and all who feel unworthy, and all who hurt with nothing left, will know that you are holy. Oh, know that you are holy. Oh, and all the song sings with us. Shout it.
Ooh, shout it. Go on and scream it from the mountains.
Go tell it to the masses.
Go on and tell it to the masses.
Oh, that he is God.
Time.
He is God.
What do we say?
Oh, that he is God.
One more time, eyes closed.
Ooh, shout it. Go on and scream it from the mountains. Go on and tell it to the masses. Oh, that he is God.
Amen.
This morning, it's always my joy to share with you from the Word of God, and today we're going to the 20th chapter of John's Gospel, and we're looking at yet another post-resurrection experience that the disciples encountered with Jesus Christ, their Lord. Looking at John 20, verses 19 through 23, may the people of God be blessed in this hearing and reading of God's holy word. On the evening of that day, the first day of the week, the doors being shut where the disciples were for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them and said to them, "Peace be with you." When he had said this, he showed them his hands and his side. Then the disciples were glad when they saw the Lord. Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, even so I send you." And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven. If you retain the sins of any, they are retained." This is the word of God for the people of God. So, I think doors are marvelous things. They keep people and things in, and animals too, and they keep people and things out. Now, as a United Methodist pastor and an itinerant one, we have lived all over the state. And first, as we began in ministry, we lived in parsonages. And they were a variety of parsonages, some very small, some very large. But there was one that we lived in early on in ministry that was a 60s-style ranch brick home. Nice. On moving day, as we moved into the house, and you know, that's a frantic day for anybody that's moving, we noticed something right away that was particular and peculiar about the master bedroom. The master bedroom had two doors in which to enter it, and both doors were sliding pocket doors. Now, Tony Hilliard lived with a house full of girls, and he decided he was going to need to upgrade his privacy. And so it was less than an hour, I do believe, that he attached two latches and hooks to those doors, problem solved. There are just some times that you need to be able to shut the door and times when the door needs to be opened. Now, the kind of door in today's text was probably something like one of these, very, very heavy. And it would have a lock on it that most likely was involving pins going into correlated holes in the bolt. And there was a flat key that had the correlating pins that would do this and unlock the door. So it's behind this kind of door that most likely the disciples are locked behind when Jesus comes to visit them. Hiding from angry Jews. Why would the Jews be angry? Well, first of all, they're embarrassed. Extremely, extremely embarrassed. I mean, after all, they went to all this trouble. They made all this to-do about killing Jesus, and they can't find his body. They feel like they've been duped. And they feel like the disciples have definitely something to do with it. And so the disciples are locked behind this door for their safety. I mean, after all, we know that they've already connected Peter to Jesus, and they feel like it's just a matter of time before the mob finds them and does the same to them and connects them to Jesus. So here are the disciples gathered around, and there's just 10 of them now. Thomas is not there, and of course, Judas is no longer. and they're sweating and plotting and trying to figure out what in the world their life looks like now without Jesus. What do they do? Where do they begin? But suddenly, as they're in that room, they detect a change. And there's Jesus. Earlier that morning, Jesus had appeared to Mary Magdalene. And now this was his next post-resurrection experience, an appearance to them. No knock at the door, nothing at all. Here is just Jesus, and he is in front of them, in the flesh. He didn't say, don't you always like to figure out what he didn't say? Don't you always kind of wonder? Well, he had the opportunity to say this, but he didn't. He said this. So, I mean, if you know what all the disciples have been through, and if you know what Jesus has been through, and you know that this is their first reunion, don't you kind of think that he might go in there and go, hi, fellas, I'm here. I told you I'd come back, and I'm here. He didn't say that. I'm not sure that he ever would have said fellas, but I mean, he doesn't say hi. No, he says one word, peace. Peace. Because Jesus wanted the disciples to stop being afraid. He knew that everything he was about to do for them was for naught if they were going to be afraid. If they were going to be just captured and just gripped in fear and not able to move or do anything for that fear. So how can the message of Christ hold any credibility out there in the world if all on your face and their body language, all you see is fear, anxiety and fear? You just can't be effective. And so Jesus says, peace be with you. And he shows them his hands where the scars are, and he shows them his side where the spear pierced him. And he says, peace be with you. And then Jesus got down to the nuts and bolts of the business behind this locked door. He had a mission and a purpose for this visit. It wasn't just to have a reunion. He said, as the Father sent me, so now I send you. Followed by breathing upon them the Holy Spirit, he unleashed these convicting words. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven. If you retain the sins of any, they are retained. And all of this that is taking place is almost more than the disciples can comprehend. I mean, you think about it. For 3 years, this band of 12 has eaten together, slept together, worked together, fished together, watched the most amazing, miraculous things happen. Been just boggled by the intellect and wisdom of this mind. Been just bowled over by the fact that they hardly had to do anything for providing food because their teacher, their leader, Jesus, had a direct line to God, and there was always plenty of food on the table. So they've done this for 3 years. And then they watch this man that means everything to them, that is really the core, the center of their life, be tortured in just an unbelievable manner, killed, left dead. Then he's gone. There's not even a body to mourn over. And now he's standing right in front of them. Now you just have to stop and think about that. We read these stories and we kind of process them and go on. But you think about your life. Who has meant more to you than anyone in your life? You've seen them go through a hard time. Maybe you've even seen them die. Maybe die in their spirit. Maybe die in their body. And they're gone. And you're having to figure out who you are without them. Because it's a new you. Because before that, it was the you that had that person always in their life. So here's Jesus, and he's standing right in front of them. Don't you know that some of them were absolutely ashamed that they were kind of cowardly hiding. I mean, all of us have hidden out, haven't we? We not want to face what we need to deal with. I mean, we're kind of hidden out. So that brings on guilt and shame and all that kind of stuff. And so we do our best to get over that. And then some of them were probably confused, like, whoa. I mean, he just walked through that door, and it didn't open. What is this body that can do that? I mean, think about it. He's in his resurrected body, and he just walks through that door, but it didn't open. And then some of them are probably still panicked, like, uh-oh, has he come to give us even worse news? Or maybe they're just thrilled to see him, and panic mixed in with joy. And then he does the oddest thing. He just blows on them. And suddenly, there's somebody else in the room besides Jesus. It's the Holy Spirit. And he breathes upon them so that now they can be sent out to spread the gospel. And he knows that they will not be afraid because of this comforter that he had promised would come and help them and enable them to do all that Jesus needed for them to do. You know, up until this point, the disciples have been called disciples, and that means learners or students. Well, class is over. And now they're called apostles, which means messengers. They're being sent out. As the Father sent me, I send you out. That's who they're going to be now without Jesus in their life. But they still don't quite understand all this. Because after all, folks, they're fishermen. They're fishermen. They're not a preacher. They're not a teacher. They don't know how to do that. That's what Jesus did. They don't know how to do that. How will they do what Jesus wants them to do? Then Jesus reminds them, as he reminds us. Let's go back to John 15. A little while and you will see me, and a little while and you won't see me. And I will come to you, and the world will not see me, basically, because I'm going to be behind a closed door with you all. But you will see me, that because I live, you will live also. That message is not just for the 10 disciples turned apostles that day. That message is for you and me, as is all of God's word. The Counselor, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things. Peace I leave with you. And to reinforce what he meant, then he breathes upon them and transforms them in that spirit, enabling them to do what he needs for them to do. Now, with those words, imagine the bolted doors just flew wide open, never ever to be shut again. As the Holy Spirit will do when you are serious about letting God be the pilot in your life. This won't ever happen if you don't get serious about that conversation. Jesus, what I'm doing is not really working here. So I'm going to turn my life over to you once and for all. The grip of fear completely left the disciples. The burden of sin was finally lifted. And suddenly they were transformed, and this fear that had gripped them, body and soul, now had been replaced by the power and the equipping of the spiritual gifts they needed to grow the kingdom. They were going to be able to do all the things that they had seen Jesus do over the past 3 years. They were going to be able to heal. They were going to be able to teach. They were going to be able to preach. They were going to be able to do all those things to grow the kingdom for Jesus Christ our Lord. Jesus had given the disciples the Great Commission as he has given you and me the Great Commission in Matthew 28. Now go. What are you waiting on? Go into the world and baptize everyone, all nations, with the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teach them all that I've commanded you. Well, that's a lot of teaching. But then we have a lifetime to teach, so we need to be doing it. He breathed upon them the Holy Spirit. Jesus was giving them a gift. Why do you think Jesus breathed on them the Holy Spirit? Because he said he was going to do it? No. What was the gift of the Holy Spirit? The gift of the Holy Spirit to the disciples that day and to you and me today is the gift of Jesus' presence. And that will never leave you. We leave it. We kind of check out with it. We kind of turn it off every now and then. But Jesus doesn't go anywhere. Jesus said, I will never fail you nor forsake you. I will be here with you. And it was the gift of his presence that was the peace. I mean, are you experiencing unrest or tension when you are truly in the presence of Jesus? You might be experiencing sadness, but you're not going to be talking to Jesus very long that you don't feel something going on in a healing manner. Jesus Christ's presence was a peace that would give them courage, would give them wisdom, would give them spiritual discernment as to what to do about any situation, and those same gifts are yours and mine. Jesus is present, is that Holy Spirit, and it is ours. Okay. Peace I give to you. Peace I leave with you. He's saying, my presence I give you. My presence I'm with you. Well, that's it. That's what happened that day. What's at stake here? What's really the point? Well, I think the first point is sometimes you just need to shut the door. I mean, think about this conversation. Could Jesus have had this out in public? Absolutely not. Everybody was after them. Could Jesus have had this out in public and just in a nonchalant way? No. This was going to be their new life. This was going to be their new mission. This was going to be their new purpose. And they had to have it. There's just sometimes you've got to have conversations, folks. And this was one Jesus had to have with his disciples. And he couldn't do it in any other way than one-on-one. This was intended to be a private conversation that would have an extreme, productive, and public effect. Now think about the shut-the-door conversations you've had in your life. Sometimes they were good news. Sometimes they were bad news. But either way, they were important conversations to have, right? I can remember one particular behind closed doors conversation I had. It was with my doctor. And I was expecting my first child, and I was sick. I was so sick, he put me to bed the last 6 weeks for my health and the health of my baby. Now, this wouldn't be a huge thing for most people, but I wasn't in a good place in my life. I was finishing up a long journey of education, 4 years of college, 4 years of seminary, and this was my student pastorate that was going to finish my degree. A student pastorate that was in a teeny tiny town of like 350 people. And I helped them with 351. But I'll tell you, I have never been lonelier in my life. I was pastoring my first church and trying to find my way through the dark on that. And then I was having my first child and trying to find my way through the dark on that. And then I was in a rural town, which was the first experience I'd ever had of that. And then my doctor says, I'm sick. Tony was very helpful, obviously, in finding people to fill the pulpit for 6 weeks so he wouldn't have to. And in my quiet time, because I had a lot of quiet time, this John 15 passage came to my mind. Peace I give to you. A little while and you'll see me, and a little while and you won't. And at the end of that text, that scripture passage, it says, now you are in sorrow, just like a woman about to give birth feels travail and sorrow. But then there's joy to come when she gives birth. You see, what I love about that is Jesus said that to the disciples before he said what he said today in today's text. Because what I think is the point of all of that I've just shared is in Christ, we never stay in a pattern of bad news. Joy always follows. Amen. We just have to realize, friends, the door will eventually open. It always does. It's this fixed timeline we've got going on in our heads that makes it look like it's not going to. Secondly, doors always open one way or another. I mean, the door that day didn't open in a normal way. There was no doorknob. There was no pushing. Jesus just appeared in his resurrected body. He didn't wait for an invitation. He didn't knock at the door and somebody say, come in. Which they wouldn't have said that anyway, because remember, they're hiding out. He didn't wait to hear for an invitation. He had already heard their cries. He had already heard their prayers. He had already heard their fears. Jesus knew the only way to alleviate fear is through obtaining peace. And that will preach to every single soul in this sanctuary today. If you've got unrest going on, you go to Jesus and you get your peace. Nothing feels better to the human mind, body, or soul than the state of peace. Amen? I mean, does anybody out there just really kind of hope each day they wake up with unrest? I mean, is that any fun? Is that how to live a joyful life? I know that whenever I've experienced a change of address, which has been a lot, a change of health, which has been more often than I'd like, or a change in perspective, I know that I need to go to God first and to pray about it, or I'm not going to have peace about what's just transpired. But God never fails me nor forsakes me, and I know that God is going to give me the peace I need to navigate my way. I mean, you know, as a minister, you know people have said things to me. How did you ever preach your parents' funerals? How did you hold your emotion from officiating your daughter's wedding or baptizing your granddaughter? How do you ever know what to say when a couple comes in and they're having trouble in their marriage and they've been married longer than you have? And what in the world do you know to say that's going to make any difference at all to a mother that comes in your office and is just torn up because of the addiction of their son or their daughter? And I say, do you not believe that I get up every single morning and pray that God will give me the wisdom and the heart and the listening to do the work of the Lord as a minister? Because on my own, I don't have it. I know that. I'm very limited. But on any given day, I have absolutely no idea what's going to walk through the door of that office, or what's going to be on the phone, or what's going to be on the text or the email. And you're like that too. I mean, this just isn't a unique experience to just pastors. So what do? You shoot off your hip? First thing that comes to your mind? Think how much more valuable what you say and what you do is going to be if you go to God first and ask for the wisdom and the spiritual discernment. finally, there is one door which needs to stay open all the time, and that's the door of grace and forgiveness. It's no mistake that Jesus takes this one opportunity to say some very specific and limited things. One of them is to have peace. And don't you get it? The other way is how to have it. If you hold the sins of any, they are held, they are detained, they are retained. But if you forgive, they are forgiven. I taught you that in the prayer, didn't I? Forgive those. Forgive us as we trespass. And forgive those who've trespassed against us. Now, when we refuse to forgive, we're actually saying a couple of things here. The first thing is we're saying we're playing God, because God is the only one that is the judge. You don't have the right, I don't have the right to judge whether somebody deserves forgiveness or not. And the second thing is we are basically elevating ourselves above another sinner by saying, well, your pride keeps you from being forgiven, or what you did was so terrible, I could never forgive that. I've never done that. I've never even thought about doing that. How dare you? I couldn't possibly begin to forgive you. Oh, my. Oh, my. So what do? We change proximity from that person. We say time will help. Let me tell you something. If just the thought of that person or being in the sight of that person raises your blood pressure just a little bit or makes you a little anxious, guess what? You hadn't forgiven them. You hadn't forgiven them. Forgive our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. When Jesus departed the disciples in that moment, he said, forgive others. Forgive their sins. If you do not, your sins are retained. Without forgiveness, don't we know there's no peace? Without peace, there's no quality of life, and there's no joy. I want to just close in a very quick story. A few years back, there was something on the news about a young mother, and she was at the shopping mall, and they had done some shopping, and they were going out to the parking garage, and unbeknownst to them, there were a couple of teenagers, two stories up, kind of hanging out over the rail. They'd come up with a prank they thought was pretty good. They would take a shopping cart and just throw it over the rail, hoping that it just kind of scares somebody. Well, it hit the woman, and she was in a coma for months. Her 13-year-old son was with her and witnessed it. When she came out, she heard that the two boys had gone to a juvenile center, and she prayed for them. She sent them letters. Her concern was for her son and how that traumatic experience might affect him. You see, this woman was a Christian woman, Marion Hedges. Christian woman, Christian heart. She'd been in the mall that day buying candy for a carnival to raise money for underprivileged children. But her focus had not been so much on her health as it had been her soul. She knew she had to forgive and had to be with peace in her heart to live the rest of her life. To hold a grudge, to have hatred, was going to manifest itself in other ways. So, anyone here been a victim of crime or persecution? Sure you have. at some point. So we all know, right, that it doesn't help one iota to hold a grudge about that. It's not going to get you anywhere. It does no good to harbor hatred. Peace is the defining factor in ultimate healing and, again, in living a joyful life. So my challenge to you today is, what are you going to do about it? This is just a nice little story that we've talked about and we're going to go on our way? Or are you going to go out there today and do everything in your power to experience peace? Because it is in your power if you are a believer in Jesus Christ, your Lord, because he has given you the power in the Holy Spirit. He has given you the power in prayer. So how, again, I'm going to ask the question, are you going to experience peace in Jesus Christ today? Are you going to have that difficult conversation? Because that's probably what it's going to be about. At some point, it's always about a difficult conversation. Maybe it's one with God. You know who it is you need to have it with. So what are you going to do today to experience peace? And then how are you going to go and share it? Because that's what Jesus is doing here. He's telling the disciples, you all have got to get to a point of peace or you're of no use to me to get out there and to share the peace. So what are you going to do? Because that's the difference in hearing the gospel and living it. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. I'm going to invite the celebration singers and band to come forward today. And I'm going to also ask all of you, even if you have to wait in line, to come forward and to say a prayer. To say a prayer for a very important situation in our church. And that is fulfilling our youth pastor position here that's been open for too many months. And we need prayer because a lot of other things have been done in the background. And now we have what I believe are two qualified candidates, praise God, to come and interview on Tuesday night. That might have had a little bit of applause. It's been a long journey. I'm not saying the journey is over, but it's looking good. It could look better if Asbury comes and prays about it. So let's stand and sing our closing song. And as always, if there are those here today who would like to unite with this church in any ways we receive members, like to come forward and to pray, I invite you to do so.
So we're going to play just a little bit quietly to give you guys some prayer time before we jump into our final song. So come forward when you feel comfortable. Thank you.
In the dead of winter, waiting on something better. But am I really gonna hide forever? Over and over again, I hear your voice in my head. Let your light shine, let your light shine for all to see.
Start a fire in my soul, fan the flame and make it grow. So let's go down, or denying. Let it burn so brightly that everyone around can see that it's you that we need.
Start a fire in me.
Ooh, 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 ooh.
You only need a spark to start a whole blaze. It only takes a little faith. Let it start right here in this city. So these old walls will never be the same. Over and over again, I hear your voice in my head. They need to know, I need to go. Spirit, won't you fall on my heart now?
Start a fire in my soul. Fan the flame and make it grow. So there's no doubt, no denying. Let it
burns so brightly that everyone around can see that it's you, that it's you that we need. Start a fire in me. You are the fire, you are the flame, you are the light on the darkest day. We have the hope, we bear your name, we carry the news that you have come to save. Start a fire in my soul, fan the flame to make it grow. So set your doubt or deny it. Let it burn so brightly that everyone around can see that it's you, that it's you that we need. Start a fire in me.
You are the fire, you are the flame, you are the light of the darkest day. Fire in me.
All right. Amen.
You got the fire. You got the spirit. Take it out in the world and share it. Let it spread. In Jesus' name, amen.
Start a fire in my soul, fan the flame in me.